as we get started. Lord God, you are so good. You are amazing. And I want to just say that over and over again, God, that you are good. What you have created is good. God, we trust that. We want to trust it more. And God, I pray as we continue to talk about your creation, that we will be encouraged in some way today. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. One day a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and they no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell him that they were done with him. So the scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided we no longer need you. We're at the point that we can clone people and do so many miraculous things that why don't you just go and get lost? And God listened very patiently to the man, and after the scientist was done talking, God said, well, how about this? I got an idea. Let's say we have a man-making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. God added, now we're going to do this just the way I did back in the old days with Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem. So the scientist bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt, and God looked at him and said, no, no, no. That's my dirt. You go find your own dirt. Mildly funny, right? All right. I'm so excited about creation. I forget how long ago was I talked a little bit on creation, how I'm always just blown away by what God has done, the intricacies of His design. And I don't claim to be a creation specialist, but I do know it. For me, it takes more faith to believe an evolutionist theory than it does to believe the Word of God. I see so many signs of His handiwork, His intelligent design that I can't even consider what an evolutionist might say. Talking about natural selection and mutations, and I even read this quote of Charles Darwin as he was talking about the eye and how complex the eye is and how complex the human eye is. And he actually said this, and I know there's some big words in here I can hardly say, but he said, to suppose that the eye with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. That was Charles Darwin in The Origin of Species, him saying that, how absurd it is to think that that could just happen. And there's a lot of things on Charles Darwin and his theories of evolution that he says if we can find a way to show that any of these things are wrong, then we can write off all of evolution. I think he had questions about his own theory. And to me, as we look at God's amazing creation, I can more fully trust in that than I can any other design. One of the things I thought about is, why didn't I get wings if evolution happened? This is a random thought, but wouldn't that be a genetic advantage for me to have wings and be able to fly around? I don't know. Random thoughts I think about. There is intelligent design in the way God designed things. So Genesis 1, this is what I want you to see in this. Don spoke on creation a little bit, and we didn't really go through the whole 6 days of creation, but a few things I want to note. So if you're at Genesis 1, verse 10, right after God creates the water, the dry ground land and gathered waters he called seas. Do you see what it says there? It says, and God saw that it was good. And then the land produces vegetation and he creates all of that. And at the end of verse 12, it says, and God saw that it was good. And then as we move on to day 5, as he creates the water, the birds in the sky and the water, the fish in the water, the animals in the water, he says at the end of verse 21, he said, and God saw that it was good. And as we get into day 6, he's producing, and this was read, he produces animals. And at the end of verse 25, he says, God saw that it was good. And then he makes man. And it says how he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him, which just blows me away. But the point I want to get to here is what he says in verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There's a difference, right? He says all this creation is good, and I was trying to do a good word study and understand exactly what that means. And as you look at the word for good, it means rich, precious, better, well, beautiful. And that's what I see when I look at creation. Again, I look at the sun today. How many were not celebrating how good it was to see the sun? And even a couple weeks ago, when that big storm rolled through and I saw the power and the majesty of what God can do in part of His creation. I know we don't always celebrate that stuff, but it's all part of His creation and it's good. But He says that people were very good. Exceedingly much good. There is an exceedingly beautifulness in what He created in people. And I think I've said this before, and I want to make it so clear. I said God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make junk. What He makes is good. And what He made when He designed each and every one of you, when He knit you in your mother's womb, He made something very good. He made you exactly like He wanted you to be. He made you exactly like He wanted you to be. God doesn't make junk. Ford might, but God doesn't. Are there any Ford fans in here? Now, when you think about it, what companies do, they try to skimp in areas. You try to make a good product, but if you make everything really, really good, the cost goes way up, and then nobody can afford to buy it, right? So you try to cut down costs where you can to make a nice product that hopefully will last and people will buy it. That's not how God designed us. He guided us. He didn't skimp on us. He made us very good. And He made us in His own image, in the image of God. And I can't even hardly comprehend how amazing that is. To be in the image of an indescribable God. But God didn't skimp on us. God gave us the ability to reason and think in a way that animals cannot. This morning I was laughing. We have chickens at our house. And they frequently are not very intelligent. We started off with 24 chickens last fall, and we have 15 now. And we've been at 15 for a while, but some hawks that were an amazing creation of God's creation, came down and a few disappeared, and our dog got a few extra meals. But this morning, I'm outside, and we actually, I mean, it's part of, I just love God's creation, how Ashley's aunt came over to our house yesterday at some point, and a kitty actually rode in her engine compartment over to our house, and so now our two youngest girls are trying to adopt this kitty that is afraid, and it's like a beautiful tiger kitty, and it has these blue eyes, you know, just those cute little kitties, and hopefully it goes well. But that is one of God's beautiful creations. But this morning, we're outside and we're looking for this kitty that is now at our place, and Summer goes, a chicken. And there's a chicken right there in our yard, kind of by our back door. And I see the chicken, I look over, and here's our dog, Remy, who is now in point and starting to stock up on the chicken. And I know what's going to happen here if I don't intervene, and so I run over, and luckily the chicken didn't run. It squatted down so I could pick it up and take it back where it needs to be. But then I got thinking about today's message and God's design. I know dogs are really smart, but my dog does not have the ability to think, if I nurture that chicken, this is kind of a ridiculous thought, I know, but if I take care of that chicken, I will get an egg for that chicken every day for the next couple years. Instead, it thinks, I want to eat it now, right? But that's how animals think. They eat to survive, and they don't think ahead in the way that we can think. God made us very good. This is a question I want you to think about. What's the perfect picture of paradise to you? I'm not going to dive into Genesis chapter 2, and it's one of my favorite chapters because it goes in specific detail of the creation of Adam and Eve. But what's your perfect picture of paradise? If you could close your eyes and picture what does it look like? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you feel? And what I want to say is that this is what God designed His very good creation to be in. We're going to get to the fall next week, but I don't think it's hard to look out and see that we live in a broken world. And what I want to say is that God desires for you to be in paradise with Him again. In our class 101, our membership baptism classes, we say this over and over again, but we say how our desire is to go back to Eden, to go back to the garden, to paradise, to shalom, which would be peace with God, peace with others, peace with ourselves and all creation. That's what we desire. A place where there is no pain, where there is no brokenness. And that's what God wants for us. In Luke 23, Jesus is on the cross, and crucifixion was one of those things that they did to people back then, to criminals. And there's one criminal on his left and one on the right, and the one criminal is hanging there at verse 39, and he hurls insults at him and says, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. So maybe you know what I'm getting at here. God's design, His creation is perfect. And Adam and Eve were put in paradise. It was perfect. God's creation was good. His design of people was very good, exceedingly beautiful. That's how He designed each and every one of us. What I want you to hear today is that no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you're feeling, what anxiety you have, God invites you back into that paradise. God invites you to accept Jesus, His free gift, and to go back into paradise with Him. That was God's design for creation. His good design for all of creation and His very good design for us. That we could go back and have a perfect relationship with God, with others, with ourselves, and with all of creation. God is very good. There's piles of other scriptures that I had skipped in Psalms. There's so many that just talk about declaring the praises of God. Maybe I'll just read the very last one, and I'm going to pray. But Psalm 150, it's the last verse in Psalms. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Can we praise God today, this week, for His very good creation? Let me pray. Lord God, You invite us back into paradise. And it's really hard for us to understand in this broken world that we have with broken people. But God, somehow we have to trust that Your design was perfect and that You invite us back into the garden with You. The Garden of Eden, where You have us rule over the fish of the sea and the livestock, and how You give us everything that is good to eat. God, thank You for Your perfect design and how You made us in Your image. And as image bearers of You, may we let Your light shine. Thank You, God. I look forward to being in Your garden each and every day and for eternity. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.